So this next sugya is really not a chometz sugya. There are going to be some parts that are going to come back to Pesachim, some parts that are going to bring us back a little bit into Hilchos Chometz towards the very end of the sugya. But for the most part, this is not really a chometz sugya. This is a robe sugya, one of our favorite topics. This touches on some issues. Some of the issues we'll talk about, things that we spoke about last year, a lot of Maseches Chulin, some different twists of things that we spoke about last year. And the sugya begins, okay, I said it's not a chametz sugya, it starts with the word chametz. The sugya begins with, if you give me just 1 second.
We should have a contest for the best name for that horse.
What? You like the horse?
Maybe we could get some post-year Jenga going also.
The horse is supposed to remind us of Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what it's there for. Okay? A new chumra that you have to be showing Zorcha Kriyas Yamsuf each and every day. Okay. Fine. So I had to switch chairs because the other chair was a rocking chair, but it wasn't supposed to be a rocking chair. So now we got a steady chair. We'll see where that goes. Okay. So the sugya begins with the chometz shaila. I can guarantee you the following. If you would ever try to put this halacha into practice in your own home, your wife would throw it out the window. Your mother would maybe send you back to yeshiva. Maybe that's a good thing. And don't even try this. But the Gemara talks about the following shaila. A person finds a piece of pas. Now the word pas could be either chometz pas or kosher pesach pas. Now the truth is that the way matzahs have been baked in Ashkenazi communities for hundreds and thousands of years, it's probably very difficult for this to actually play out. Because if you can't tell the difference between a piece of shmur matzah and a piece of challah, so you got a big, big problem. But as we all know from our Sephardi brethren, so matzahs don't necessarily have to be so flat. We have a custom to make them flat and very crispy and, burnt a little bit. You know, but this to be extra especially careful in terms of any chimutz issues. But technically, we did in the Gemara talks about the possibility of making rather thick matzahs. And even Mizmacha, Besamik the Shakayim, when your brother comes in Mincha, so the Torah speaks about Chalos Matzos Blus B'Shemen or Kikim Matzos B'Shuchim B'Shemen. So the Rikikim matzos that the Torah refers to are probably much closer to what we talk about. Our matzos are Rikikim, the little thin crackers. Whereas the Chalos matzos were probably much closer to what the Sephardi matzos look like, the softer, more pita-ish kind of matzos. So if you have this almost like a more softer kind of a matzah, in theory, it could be confused with a piece of bread. It's possible. So comes the Gemara and says, I have this item, and I have no idea, is it chometz or is it matzah? I'm trying to figure out. So the Gemara throws out the possibility that maybe a way to determine whether it's chometz or whether it's matzah is what's the rov. This particular basket that I found it in, is this a basket that I used mostly for challah rolls during the year? Or is this something that I usually put my shmur matzahs in? Even this conversation is getting me nervous. I'm already shaking a little bit. I mean, imagine if this went on in your kitchen, right? I can't tell. Is this where we kept the shmur matzahs? Is this where we kept the pizzas? It's unclear. So what's the din? So the Gemara says, the possibility you follow Rove. Maybe follow. That's such a crazy application of the principle of Rove. We know we have Haram Mahatos. We follow Rove in so many other areas of Halacha. So maybe you follow Rove. So then in the middle of the discussion, the Gemara says, wait a second, not so simple. Maybe there's another principle that's at play here. And that's the principle called Azlina Basabasra. Maybe you follow what it was used for last. So if I, even though it could be that over the course of the entire year, I used it for more challahs than for matzahs, but I know that in the last 3-4 days, I've been using it for matzah, and I don't remember that I left any challah in there from before. So maybe that's another svara called Azlina Basabasra. That's a whole other dimension, another angle of this thing. The Gemara plays around a lot with these two principles of Rove on the one hand and Azlina Basabasra on the other hand. Fine. So now that was the chometz part. Now we move into the part of our sugya. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara references a Mishnah that appears in Masechet Shkolim. Some of you may have been learning Daf Yomi, it was not all that long ago, where the Mishnah talks about Mol Shenimtzu Lifnei Sechet Behema, Mol Shenimtzu Baharabayis, and Mol Shenimtzu Birushalayim. A person finds some coins in a specific place in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah breaks down three different locations within Yerushalayim where these coins are found. Why do I care where these coins are found? Because I'm trying to figure out what the coins are. The coins may be regular coins, regular chulin coins, which would be great. I could just use it to buy myself, some regular food. Or they may be very, very holy coins, which were used to be mechala ma'aser sheni on them. It could be that somebody who grew ma'aser sheni, down in Ashdod somewhere, and he didn't feel like schlepping his fruit to Yerushalayim, so he did what the Torah says in Bashas Rei. He was mechalel the fruit onto the ma'aser on coins. Then he brought those coins to Yerushalayim, and he was planning on using those coins to buy some food in Yerushalayim and eat that food b'taras hakodesh in Yerushalayim b'kedusha v'tara. That's great. That's what everything he did was great. The only problem is that Kol Zman that he hasn't yet bought that food with those coins. Those coins have kedushas ma'aser sheni to them, and you have to be very, very careful with those coins. You can only use them to buy food and only certain types of food, and then the food becomes kadosh, has to be in b'kedusha v'tara. So there are a lot of dim that govern those coins. So we do not know now what the status of these coins are. We don't know, are these regular chulin coins or are these ma'aser sheni coins? And some very, very serious nafkaminas ladina, the chulin coins, we could go to Krispy Kreme and buy donuts together with the rest of Klal Yisrael, and we don't have to eat them b'kedusha v'tara. If they are ma'aser sheni coins, then we have to be very, very careful what we purchase with them, how we consume it, and where we consume it. So the halachas have become very, very intricate if these were really ma'aser sheni coins, and we just pasha don't know. So the Mishnah Shkolim says that depending on where and when you found these coins is going to impact on what you have to assume these coins are. So the first case that the Mishnah talks about is Mol Shenimtzu Lifnei Sechet Behema. What if I found the coins by cattle dealers, by animal sellers, people who sell animals? So that's already a red flag. That's already cause for concern. Why is that? Because it is very, very common for people to bring the ma'aser sheni coins to Yerushalayim, as the Torah says, "V'tzarta kesef biyadcha," you bring the coins to Yerushalayim, and a very, very reasonable place to go with those coins is to buy meat. So when you buy meat, you're going to go to the Sechet Behema, not like today, you're going to go buy a pre-packed salami. So you're going to go and use this money, "V'nasata b'kesef b'chol ha'sheta avinavshcha b'bokor v'atzon v'yayin v'sheichar." You're going to go to the bokor dealers and to the tzonder, to the sheep dealers, and you're going to use the coins and buy meat, which is great, which is exactly what you're supposed to be doing. The only thing is that if the coins were not yet spent on the meat, then the coins are kadosh b'kedushas ma'aser sheni. If the coins were already spent, you already bought the meat, and the meat becomes kadosh b'kedushas ma'aser sheni, and the coins lose their kedusha. So the odds are that these coins probably either are or at one time are ma'aser sheni coins, because they're lifnei sechet behema, and most of the meat dealers in Yerushalayim are dealing with ma'aser sheni. That was just the norm. That was the dakar shel olam. People came to Yerushalayim to the sechet behema, so most of the time it was in fact to exchange to be mechal their coins onto the meat. The problem is that we have no idea when these coins or from who these coins fell. Did these coins fall out of the pocket of the buyer, or did they fall out of the pocket of the seller? It makes all the difference in the world. If they fell out of the pocket of the buyer, so then these coins were kadosh b'kedushas ma'aser sheni. They haven't been nischalu yet, and now they retain the kedusha. So if we had a security camera on, we had ruach hakodesh, and we knew that they fell out of the buyer's pocket before he spent the money on anything, so then you have to treat them as ma'aser sheni coins. If we had a security camera on ruach hakodesh telling me that they fell out of the meicher, out of the seller's pocket, so that means they were already traded for the meat. So the kedusha already left the coins, went on to the meat, and now the coins are chutz. You can go back to Krispy Kreme, take them back to Ashdod, go buy yourself donuts. You don't have to use that money to buy things with Shalayim, kedusha, v'dara. How do we know? We have no way of knowing. So comes Rashi and says, when the Mishnah tells us, Moshim, so they say, Chaveim, al yoyla maiser, Rashi throws his hands up, and Rashi says, you know why it's the yoyla maiser? Rashi says it has to be the long Rashi and his Rambam comments. I don't know what happened here. So Rashi writes the reason why it's Maiser is the Afagav the Ikla Meima Shevi Adam Meicha Naflu. Most Chulin, it's possible they're not Maiser. It's Safek Yisur L'chumra. Zok Rashi, it's a 50-50 chance. There is no way you can tell me what the odds. There is no odds. You have no way of knowing who dropped these coins, and therefore it's a Safek Deraisa L'chumra. Using Maisa Sheni coins for your own personal purposes, not Kedusha B'Tahara, is an Issa Deraisa. So the Kaddish produced Maisa Sheni Min HaTorah. Therefore, Safek Deraisa L'chumra. That's a Rashi touches up the circuit. So comes Taisus and quotes Rashi in the second of the Maram Koines. Taisus writes, "Pirsha Kudrus, Alpha P, the Ekel Misle B'Moicher Kamavi Lekeach Misveika Talin L'Chumra. The Einir L'Ri, correct the Ri. It's not true. The Smoich Miyuta the Chulin the Sharmos LePalga the Moicher Bavli Ruba LeHeter. It's not true," says Taisus. "It's not 50-50. It's 70-30. The odds that these coins are chulin is much, much more than 50-50. I'll tell you why, says Taisus. Simple math. It's true that we have no way of knowing whether they fell from the Marechad or the Keach. So that's a 50-50. I mean, we use the term 50-50, but there's no way to be machriya. There's no way to know what it is. So we call that a 50-50 suffix. So says Taisus, that is true, that whether or not the coins fell from the Meichel, fell from the Keach, is a 50-50 suffix. That is correct. But there's another factor in this equation, namely, how do you know these coins were mice in the first place? You don't know that for certain that they were mice there. You strongly suspect they're mice there, but guess what? There are some people who come to the Seichel Behema to simply buy regular food. And they're not necessarily bringing with them Maaseh Sheni coins. It's possible, unlikely, not very probable. The odds are 85% chance, probably not, but there's a chance. It says Taisus, any given coin that you have in front of you, you have the odds are that it probably does not have Kedushas Maaseh Sheni. Why? 50-50 chance that it fell from the Meicher, fell from the Keach. And then there's also that outside chance that maybe it was chulin mitchila. Maybe it never was Maaseh Sheni. If it was never Maaseh Sheni, then there's nothing to talk about. So says Taisus, therefore the rove of the coins, 62% of coins found in Bnei Sechei Behema are in fact chulin, are not Maaseh Sheni. And therefore, what does the Mishnah say? You have to be machmir. Never the rove? Anyone that chulin us last year? Achiram Mahatas? Is it didn't their answer? That Taisus cash against Rashi. So to solve this kasha, Tos has to change the facts of the ground a little bit. Tos has got to change the makeup of customers in the Seichel Behema stores. But in the recent Tos, the lochem have a ruba. Says the Ri, it's true that there's a 50-50 chance it came from the meicher from the lekech. And it's true that there is always that small percentage of non-Maaseh Sheni coins. It says Taisus, in any given store, there are multiple customers. You go to the right side. If you have a store and you have more mochim in the store than lochim, can I give you some good advice? Close your store and go find another parasol. You better have more customers than people working in the store. So if you're going to tell me, says Taisus, that any given store has more lochim than mochim, that's going to mess up the numbers for you. Because then the amount of coins that are coming into the store are significantly higher than coins that belong to the Meichem Etchila. So it's not a 50-50 chance, whether it's the Meichem's coins or the Lochem's coins. It's a much better chance that it's the Lochem's coins rather than the Mochem's coins, which means that there's a much higher percentage that's Maaseh Sheni. So it's true there's a minuscule number of coins that are chulin that would never Maaseh Sheni altogether, but that small percentage of chulin coins will not be sufficient to offset the higher percentage of coins that are shalal lokech, not shalal boichem. So Taisa said, we're back to, we don't know what the numbers are. We're back to 50-50, there's no rove anymore. So Taisa's rove unravels. Taisa's rove unravels simply by sticking a few extra customers into the store. I'll get to your Taisa. So Baruch Hashem, we can breathe a sigh of relief that, according to Taisus, what undoes the rave, we have to undo the rave. The goal of today's shiur is to undo the rave, because the Mishnah says it's also. If it would have been a rave, it would have been mutter. So we have to figure out a way where the rave is not relevant, is not present. It says, Taisis, let me explain to you why the robe disappears into thin air, because there are too many lochem, more lochem than Sodom Eichem. Nurbay said, which great Rishon didn't say that? Which great Rishon didn't make mention of how many lochem there are in the store?
Rashi.
The only other Rishon we read today. Rashi didn't say a word about that. Rashi, if anything, says the opposite. Rashi writes that the ikal mitle b'moicher k'mo b'lekech. Rashi says, one moicher, one lekech. Rashi doesn't take five lochem, one moicher. One-on-one. Says Rashi, it's one-on-one. The afa pichein, Rashi did not think that there's a row of lehenta here. Why not? Why isn't there a row of lehenta here? Tosfos Cheshbon is right. You're going to tell me every single coin that walks into the store is Maaseh Shein? That's absurd. It's ridiculous. So Rashi knew the Metzius was such like Tosfos. I don't know if it's a Metzius. Everybody knows that there are some chulin coins in the Cheshbon. So why does Rashi ignore the chulin coins? Why does Rashi not Eilel Hadas? Why don't the chulin coins throw off the numbers? Why does Tosfos convince that the chulin coins do throw off the numbers? And Rashi seems to completely ignore that. What are they arguing about? What are they fighting about? What's the Nekudas of Machlokes? So another question. Yeah. Yoni, yeah.
Yeah. Can you just say it's 50-50 because you're looking at it as before the purchase or after the purchase as opposed to whose possession it was in?
I'm being down on a coin. I want to know. I found a quarter on the floor. So just tell me, Rabbi, don't tell me Lum. Just tell me, is it Maaseh Shein or Chulin? So Tosfos makes a simple calculation. Tosfos says, the odds are it's Chulin. Rashi can't argue those facts. The facts are the odds are it's Chulin. So the odds are it's Chulin. Does Rashi say, Sveikah d'Raisa l'Chumra? Sveikah d'Raisa l'Chumra doesn't apply when there's a Raisa. What's the Bira Dover? The Machlik is Rashi and Tosfos. Anyone realize there was Machlik is Rashi and Tosfos? What's the beer? So I share with you today, the first time I learned the sugya, everyone knows already, back in 11th grade, Reb Mordechai Marcus, Eichet Tzadik L'Bracha, whose yahrzeit is today. First yahrzeit is today. So, the Shtichot Torah should be a little nishmasai. I heard this from him 39 years ago. The beer adav in the biggest ration thesis. It's a throwback to last year. Very, very famous. What's one of the most famous applications of Rove? One of the famous applications of all time of Rove. A good old friend, the Bryce, about what?
Give me a hint.
I find a piece of meat.
Teshachanias.
I find a piece of meat on the floor. There are 9 kosher stores in town. There's 1 trefa store in town. As long as I found it on the street and I didn't walk into the store. Now, if I walk to the store, that's a whole nother ball game. We have to wait enough tests to see what that's all about. Kavua, we're not doing that right now. But as long as I find a piece of meat on the floor, we apply 4 magic words. What are the 4 magic words? Kol, deparish, meruba parish. Anything that left its source, we don't know where its source was. I find a piece of meat, so it came from one of the stores. I just don't know which one. We can assume that it came from the Rav. That's called the Ruba de Isa Kamon. I counted up all 10 stores, 9 a kosher, 1 strafe, called the Parshman. That's a Dinah Torah. Called the Parsh Ruba Parsh. The Torah can eat that meat. Whether I should eat the meat with the Rabbanon, whether it's a good idea to eat meat that was sitting on the ground, is another story. But in the Torah, that meat is totally kosher, based on the Lachic principle called the Parsh Ruba Parsh. We've given the example multiple times. We've even listed off the kosher stores in Teaneck, and we always pick the plaza for these purposes. So the area, you know, the Queen Anne Plaza area. So quick, I need some chazara, guys. So I find a piece of meat on the ground. So it could be that it comes from doggies. Maybe it came from chickies. Maybe it came from, give me another one.
Schnitzel Plus.
What?
Schnitzel Plus.
Schnitzel Plus, okay, good one. Give me another one. No one
else.
Humble Toast. I think Nobo just closed, but there's a new chevron place there. So okay. So we have almost got 10 stores. And then of course there's always that one store that's there to mess things up. What is that?
Julio's.
What?
Mexico. Julio's? Mexico.
What's it called? The Caribbean place. Now what's it called? Isn't that the Caribbean store on the corner there? right? Those know what I'm talking about? Okay, so there's the non-kosher place, all right? So I find a piece of meat on the floor. So I'm in a Torah called the Rosh from Rosh. You won't believe this, Rabbi Isai, but 2 weeks ago, right before Pesach, I was walking on the street in that area, and there was a piece of chicken on the floor. I kid you not. I was so excited. I was ready to pick it up and give it a big hug and a kiss. I didn't touch it and go anywhere near it. But you are it. Al zeh ne'emar kol deparsh v'deparsh. I couldn't like control myself. I felt like Lahal. I felt like Rav Baruch Ber in his moment of ecstasy. There was a famous ma'is of Rav Baruch Ber that Rav Baruch Ber, there's a sugya in Chulin about a kurkavan, about the, I mean, it's literally a chicken stomach. Find a needle in the kurkavan. Is a kosher? Is a treif? Is a rave? Is a this? Is a suffix? I got a longer megillas about a kurkavan. And once Rav Baruch Ber was sitting to be smedrish, and someone brought in a kurkavan. And they say he lost it with excitement. He said, "Das is the heilige kurkavan. Das is it. This is the heilige pipik, the heilige chicken stomach. Das is the heilige kurkavan." So I looked at this chicken on the floor and I said, "Das is the heilige teisha chenuyos." And I immediately ran away from it. Anywhere near this thing. Could be it was mutterenner because maybe nifsa mechil was other at that point. But it was heilige kurkavan. But so Rabbi say, I'm going to ask you the following shayla. Very long shayla. Very long shayla. I'm going to name you the stores. Okay, Bechazer over again. Schnitzel Plus. How many tables of Schnitzel Plus? I don't know, 4 or 5 tables. Pre-COVID days, 4 or 6 tables. Okay. You got the Doggies, 20 tables. You got Humble Toast, 10 tables. Nice, small, Hamish restaurants. And there's one tray for restaurant there. That tray for restaurant seats 300 people. It's got more meat in that tray for restaurant than our stores under the RCBC from Teaneck to Fairlawn to Englewood. So could somebody please tell me, is that called Teisha Chanuyos anymore? I find a piece of meat on the floor and I want to know, can I eat it or not? Wait a second. Is that, there are 9 kosher stores and 1 trefa store. The problem is the 1 trefa store has got more chicken, kefal, kiflik, kiflayim than all the others all put together. What am I asking, Rabbi Yisrael? What I'm asking you, Lomdish Shaila, is when we discuss the issue of Rov, we have to be very, very careful now. A Ruv Disa come on called the Parsh Ruv Parsh. When you're being down on Rov, there's a Shaila Dereis. You're being down on Rov. Are you down on the Cheftso itself? What are the Rov Cheftsos of this particular item? I have a piece of chicken. What are the Rov Cheftsos of chickens in town? Or am I being done on the kol deparish, where it came from? What was the source of the problem? So I don't count up pieces of chicken. Rather, I count up stores. And you can have a situation where those numbers are not in sync. One store is significantly bigger than the others. So how do you pass in the shayla of kol deparish, move deparish? Does kol deparish depend on the rov of the cheftzes in question? What's called the parsh mubah parsh depend on the rove of the sources in question? That's my question. So what's the answer to that question? And how is that going to impact the Chagas Rashi and Tesis? So this Shaila was a very, very famous Machlokes Acharonim. Okay, I didn't know it either, the Rebbe Marcus told me. Very, very famous Machlokes Acharonim. Have any idea what's between? I think we may have mentioned it once last year. I don't even remember anymore. Anyone know who the Baplutas are? It's Machloekes, the Chai Adam and the Nesivis. Two Gedoyle Olam. The Chai Adam, this doesn't appear in Sefer. Chai Adam was written in Archaim. Chachmas Adam was written in Yerodea. And the Binas Adam is the Lomdus on Yerodea. He has in addition to just straight out Halacha, he's got Tevis and Populims about robes. And we saw some Venus Adams, remember when? Earlier in the year, right? Some of the songs of Vikas Chometz, we saw one or two Venus Adams. So in the Sefer Venus Adam, printed in the Sefer Chachmas Adam, so the Chayodim writes that it would appear to him as a milsa de Pshita Admaoid that were being down on Cheftzes. If it's being down on cheftzes, so then you have to go bust a rove with the cheftzes. What do I care? How many stores? No, I'm not eating the storefront. I'm going to eat the chicken. So mach pati, how many stores there are. The only thing that matters to me is how many chickens there are. So you have to identify the cheftza that's in question. Identify all the possible cheftzas of that cheftza, types of that cheftza that are available in town. And whichever constitutes the row, it's called the parsha of the parish. And the Nesivis disagrees. The Nesivis in the Sefer Chavis Das in Yerideya disagrees. It's parsha, it's not true. So the Chayodah now writes a fascinating story. He says, tells a story, that he was Zoicha to see the Nesivis. He was contemporary of the Nesivis. Younger than the Nesivis. He was a contemporary of the Nesivis. Chayodah was the Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. So you're talking about, you know, the end of the going was Nifter in 1797. He was born in 1720, he was Nifter in 1797. So the Chayodom, you know, lived into the early part of the 1800s. And the Ktsois, the Nesivas, or the Kivei, they were all around this time. It was all the same period of time. The end of the 1790s going to the early 1800s. That was this period of these Gedolei Olam, the Chayim Lajanon, or Kivei, or the Ktsois, the Nesivas. Those are some of the regular Rabbonim, you know, in town these days. Chayodim writes, tells a story that he once was Zoicha to be Makabel Pnei HaNesivis. He writes, he saw that he visited the Nesivis once, and he describes his Makabel Ponim Kuros Pnei Malach Elikim. Says the Nesivis was a Malach Elikim. Malach Hashem Tzedakos. And he saw the Nesivis, and he argued with the Nesivis about this point. He tried to convince the Baal Nesivis, the Heilige Baal Nesivis, to change his mind about this topic about Reiv. The Nesivis was convinced that Reiv follows the sources, and the Chayodim was convinced that Reiv follows the items. The Chayodim writes, I tried to get him to change his mind, and I brought him Raya's v'shosak. And the Nesivis didn't answer me. He was silent. He didn't respond. All my rayas, he listened to it, didn't respond, didn't acknowledge any of my rayas. We don't know why the Nesivis didn't acknowledge the Chayodim's rayas. There are two possible reasons why. One is he had nothing to respond. He thought the rayas were really good, and he taka backed out. He had no pircha to the rayas of Chayodim. Or he thought the rayas were so shvach, he didn't think it was kedai to even waste his time to argue with the rayas. Anybody can figure out the rayas. Chayyim might have no idea. I know he didn't have the chutzpah to ask the Nesivis why he was quiet, but he was quiet. Interesting tidbits of interaction of Gedolei Olam. It's hard to interpret stories. There was another story about the Nesivis of Rabbi Kivayik. I think I've told the story of also. Once Rabbi Kivayik and the Nesivis ended up in the same shul. And the Gabbai was in a dilemma who to call for Shlishi. Rekvega the Nesivis, your choice. Flip a coin. So I think the way the story goes is that the Gabbai called up Rekvega, and Rekvega fainted. So it's not exactly clear why Rekvega fainted. So did Rekvega faint naturally? Fainted because he was so upset, so distressed. That someone thought for a second that he was a bigger Talmid Chacham than Nesivis was. So he was just taken away with into shock. His whole body shut down, he fainted. Or the other version of the story is that he faked the faint because he's called up to Aliyah, called for Aliyah, and not supposed to turn down Aliyah. On the other hand, he felt it would be a lack of cover to Nesivis take the Aliyah. So the only way out of it was he fainted. He forced himself to faint. You know, so you have to real kimi mucham zum to faint in order to be yaitzei that the Nesivis should get the aliyahs. I don't know. Again, I wasn't at these present at these stories. But back to the Nesivis and the Chayodim. What are the rayas? Forget about who fainted, who didn't faint, who quieted, who didn't answer. Tachas, what were the rayas? That's what really matters. What were the rayas back? So we share the Nesivis' raya first. The Nesivis wrote in his Sefer in Chavis Das, Raya Brewer, he thought, Raya Brewer Shana Tshuva, that you follow sources, you don't follow Cheftzes. Says the Nesivis, there's a sugya in the second Berakah of Bamitzi. sugya of Shabbos Aveda. There's a mitzvah Shabbos Aveda li Yisrael. There's no mitzvah Shabbos Aveda li Yaakov. Why is that? So the halacha is gezel akum zos. You're not allowed to steal from a goy. So this is, we pass it to this is the rice. You're not allowed to gezel akum zos. But Aveda is not really gezela. Aveda is not kineva, not gezela. Midas Adin dictates, you lost, then you lost. It finished, come on. Finders keepers, losers weepers. It's all finished, come on. There's a special mitzvah satayr of Gabilas Chasadim called, he's your brother, come on, give him a break. He lost his wallet. Find him, give it back to him. We'll give him a sim and give it back. It's a mitzvah. It's not dini mominus. It's like ribbis. Why is it? Why do you like to take ribbis? You're not allowed to steal from a guy. Why do you like to take ribbis from a guy? The ribbis is not because there's nothing wrong with, there's nothing morally wrong with taking ribbis. It's a special chesed, bris achim. You're supposed to, you know, observe. You're supposed to have chesed, especially your brother needs a few dollars to start his business. Give him a, do him a favor, give him a free loan. But Midas Adin does dictate. Midas Rachim dictates that. So for a family member, I go out of my way. I lend the money, even though it's going to cost me. I won't make my investments I won't be able to invest the money. But family is family. Mishpacha is mishpacha. Hashem Zaveid is mishpacha. Midas Adin doesn't dictate Hashem Zaveid. So for non-Jew, you're not mechuyev. It's a very nice thing to do to make a kiddush Hashem, and you're supposed to try to do that, and you should return it and make a big fuss that we as religious Jews do these kinds of things. You should turn every opportunity of Aveda Sacham turn into a kiddush Hashem. It's beautiful, wonderful. But me can make great thing in terms of the mitzvah of Zveri Nemuch. The Gemara says in the second back of Mitzvah, what if I find something and I have no idea who lost it? If I knew who lost it, I have no idea. So if I find an Aveda in a completely Jewish place, they don't go him around. So of course, they have to show him Aveda. If I find the Aveda in like Gamre, I find it in the middle of North Dakota, there's no Jew around for 100 miles. So I don't have to show him Aveda. What do I find in a mixed place? It's a mixed bag. I find it somewhere where Yesh Yisrov, Yesh Akum. What do you do? So the Gemara says, hey, let's see this. What are you doing? You follow up? Follow Rav. So you check the town census. And you see, Rav Yisrov, Tzorach Lahachris, you have to announce the Aveda. You could assume it probably came from the boy anyway, so you're allowed to keep it. Was our state in Bavitzia? You follow Rav. Says the Nesipus. I don't understand. The Gemara does not qualify this statement by saying that the Jew or the goy, one is any richer than the other. One group of people have more material possessions than others. We have no idea how many wallets the Jew owns, or how many animals the goy owns. So I find the lost item. I have no idea what the numbers are. How in the world am I going to know? The Bryce doesn't require me to tally up what everyone's possessions are to see whether there's a Rov Nichsa Yisrael. What does the Bryce say? Im Rov Yisrael Yachsir. Yachris. Im Rov Akum Lo Yachsir. All I have to identify is where the item came from. If the Rov is in the direction of Goyim, I don't have to return. Even though it's very possible that the three Jews living down may be an awful lot richer than the 25 goyim living down. It's very possible that the Jews have more items, more material possessions than the goyim. But the Braisa doesn't say that. I have to take that into consideration. It says, Nesiv, Zem, Pundoy, see for me, you follow sources, you don't follow chesis. It's the Raya proof in the Sivis. Anyone want to be doich the Raya? Says the Chayodim, he doesn't need to rise with Raya B'chlal. What does Hashem Saved have to do with chickens? When it comes to where did this piece of meat come from, what's the point of interest? What are we being done on? I'm not asking a shayla, a rabbi, am I allowed to take a bite out of a storefront? I want to know, can I eat the piece of chicken? Can I eat this piece of meat? This cheftza. Says the Chayodim, when you have a shayla of teisha chenuyos, the shayla is revolving around the piece of chicken. I want to know, kosher treif. Can I put my stamp, oh, you want it as a kosher as a treif? When it comes to a Shavas Aveda, the item is not important. What's the mitzvah of a Shavas Aveda? Hashem tishivem lechicha, it's a chesed I have to do benam lechaveirai. I have a cheva to the Baal Aveda. I have a mitzvah ches, a mitzvah shows aveda to the Baal Aveda. It doesn't make the slightest bit of difference whether he lost a wallet, he lost an animal, he lost a sefer. What matter if the item is, a little chpatli, but being down on the chepza, being down on the gavra. So says the Chayyadam, when the latest Asofin is clapping the Gavra, I want to know, Rabbi, do I have a mitzvah Shavas Aveda to the owner of this object? The mitzvah Shavas Aveda is not the cheft of the object. The mitzvah is clapping the Gavra, the owner. So we have to be down on who is the owner. So we're being down on who is the owner. So the owner of this object is one of the 35 people who lives in town. If 26 of them are Goyim and none of them are Jews, so the odds are the owner is a Goyim. That's a rove. It could be that the Jew owns significantly more property than the other living. That's not my shot. I don't care about the property. The shaila is me klape the bal aveda. So the chayodim is doich the raya from the sivus. And again, I'm sure the chayodim pointed out this kasha to the sivus. The sivus wasn't a techeis to it. Again, either because he thought it was just an incorrect objection, or he thought it was so convincing he had nothing to say. Unclear. So comes the Chayyadim and says, I'm going to bring you a raya. I'm not just going to deflect the raya. I'm going to bring you a raya that I'm right. And the raya that I'm right, those Dafyomi men, so another Mishnah in Shkolim. Mishnah in Shkolim discusses in a situation where in the base of Mikdash itself, I find some coins. Now we know that in the base of Mikdash, there are a lot of tzedakah boxes in the base of Mikdash. Not literally tzedakah boxes, they were the shofars. You had these boxes that were shaped like shofros. They were shaped like shofros, so nobody could stick their hand in and sneak out, you know, and try to steal some money. Even in the base of Mikdash, you gotta be careful. Be careful with that. So they had multiple shofros in the base of Mikdash. You'd give them shofros, I have a Mikdash. Anyone remember what they had in them? Well, the Dafyomi men. Some of them were this year's Machzah Shekel, some of them were for previous, for the late comers Machzah Shekel, some of them for the Kinim, some of them were for the Elos Tekaitz and Mizbeah, multiple different stories here. And each one had different purposes. Each one was a different kind of Kedusha, had to be used for different purposes. So now I find coins on the floor in the base of Mikdash. Where did they come from? Did it come from this pushka, this is talking about this shofar, that shofar? How am I going to know that? I have no idea. What does the Mishnah say? Who remembers? Push date in Mishnah Shkolim. And remember, there's one word that carries the day there. And remember? Karov. Whichever one is closest to. If you find it closer to the last year Shkolim, then it goes to last year Shkolim's box, which are used for different things than this year Shkolim. If you find it closer to the kingdom, it goes to get closer to others, the kites and his back, it goes to the whatever it's closest to, close in proximity, geographic proximity to, that's where it comes from. What kind of book is that? Where do we have a final Shaman of the Yerlam? Is something closer to? That's what you follow? Where do we have a model for that idea that I have a latest Asophic? I don't know where something came from. You follow Karov.
Baba Basher, Reverend Karov.
Yeah, but where do you find that in the Chumash?
The Arav Lo V'Kamalav?
What?
The Arav Lo V'Kamalav, is it?
No, that's Kavua. Where's the source of Chumash? I have a latest Asafik. I don't know where something came from. So we base our decision.
Egla Rufa?
Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa. Third says, Lona Damiko. I have a latest Asafik. I don't know who killed the person. Clearly, we're trying to identify who's responsible for what happened here. It's in the middle, out there in the forest, somewhere. It's near, in between multiple cities. So what does the Torah say? The city that's closest to the dead body has to bring it. What kind of thing is that? So the Gemara in Baba Basra and the Sechel Berakhot explains that the Torah is telling us that one of the klolim that we do in Sveikis, we know when you have Sveikis, you look for two aid and one aid, you look for sometimes Shmuel work, sometimes you have robe, chazokas mekach, chazokas hashta. With these sicker ones, with lasik ones, another one of the rules on the list is karav. Ve'yer karav alachol. So that's what the Mishnah in Shkolim seems to be telling us, that I have a latest asofik. I don't know where it came from, so you follow karav. So I didn't do that. Just as the Egla Rufi follow Karov, so to Meshkolmi follow Karov. What's the problem? As Osha said, the problem is the Gemara Mabasa, the second part. The Gemara Mabasa says, Korv is great and wonderful and phenomenal, except it's not as good as what? As Rov. It ain't as good as Rov. Rov is better. The Gemara actually says in Mabasa, seems to say that if you have two cities and you're not sure where the person came from, and one city is bigger than the other, then you don't measure. Then you follow the bigger city. The only time the Torah gives their parsha of measuring is that both cities are the same basic size. There is no clear Rov. Then, all right, lays braver, then you follow Karv. Karv is not the end all. Karv is on the lower end of the spectrum of ways of being Mavar's fakes. Rov is not better than Karv. So comes the Chayodom and he asks the Kasha, wait a second, if Rov is better than Karov, so why did the Mishnah Shkon say you follow Karov? You should follow Rov of the Shofros. So the Mishnah says in Shkolim that out of the 13 Shofros, six of them were one kind and the seven were different ones. So why doesn't the Mishnah ever say follow the Rov? Don't you have six Shofros there? So the odds are I came for those six rather than each individual other one. What happened to Rov? How come it doesn't appear in the entire Sugya in Shkolim? Not in the Mishnah, it's not in the Yerushalmis, all the Afyomi. Not a word about Rov. And Rov, the Gemara says, but Basek Rekas outweighs Karov. Says the Chayodom, the answer must be that we don't necessarily have a clear-cut Rov. What do you mean you have a clear-cut Rov? You have six Shofros against one Shofro. What do you mean you have a clear-cut Rov? What's the answer? You have what?
It's based on individual coins.
You have more money in that one shofar than you have the other six shofars all put together. So you don't have Rov anymore, says the Chayyadim. That's the only way to explain what knocked Rov out of the box. Says the Chayyadim, if the Nesivus is right, that Rov is determined by the Rov of the sources, you always have Rov of sources. The Mishnah says you have six, the majority of the shofars for one particular kind. So the only way to knock Rov out of the box is to say it doesn't matter, it doesn't interest us where the Shofros are, where the source is. What matters to us is the Chavtza from the Keyesh. And there you don't have a clear-cut Rov. That must be, that's the only way to learn Taisha and the Mishnah and the Mishalm. So that's the Chayyam's Rai against the Nesivus. I don't know what the Nesivus would have answered. I don't know. We don't have on record what he answered. He was quiet. So Achleikis calls to Achleikis, the Nesivus and the Chayyam, and Hashavah did the Raisa. When you have a latest asofik on an item, you determine Rov based on the Rov of the items, Rov of the chavtzos, a Rov based on the Rov of the sources. The rabbi say, who predated the Bechogis, the Nesivus, and the Chayyadu in this one? Rashi and Taisus threw a curveball Rashi. Taisus says, I don't understand, Frek Taisus. What do you mean it's a 50-50, it's a lokech versus a meicher? There's so much Rov that it's chulin. Rov coins in the store are chulin. Because in addition to the fact that it's a 50-50 chance that it came from the Meicher versus the Lekech, it may have been chulin b'tchila. So Rov coins are chulin. And Tosfos says, if Rov coins are chulin, that's not a suffix. That's called Rov coins chulin. Therefore, Tosfos had to throw a few extra customers into the store for good luck to knock the Rov out of the box. But if not for the extra customers, Tosfos says, count up the coins, Rov coins, a chulin, the game is over. That's a Rov Leheter. And Rashi ignored that. Why did Rashi ignore that? Because Rashi held, I couldn't care less what the Rov coins are. What do I care about? Rov sources. What are the two, what are the all the sources where this money could have come from? Give me all the millions of sources the money could have come from, either from who or from who? Either the Meicher or the Lokech. That's always 50-50. That's one-on-one. I couldn't care less whether there were more coins, less coins, more chulin, but it's one against one. And therefore, it's not a Rov. So Rashi is saying what took the Nesivus 500 years later to formulate, to articulate, that Rov is determined by sources. All that matters is the source. It doesn't really matter the particulars of the chavtza. And therefore, if Rov sources, are one way, then it would be one way. But here, you don't have Rove sources because it's one-on-one. And if you don't have Rove, and therefore Sabi derives L'chumra. And Tosus knew full well there's no Rove of sources, but there's Rove of Chetzes. And as such, there's Rove of Chetzes, that's also called a Rove. And therefore Tosus was forced into the corner and I threw a few extra customers in there to make sure that the Rove doesn't work in the favor of Heter, because then the Mishnah would be wrong by telling us Safek L'chumra. So this machlaik is the G'dayli Ailam between the Nesivus and the Chayadam, but not mistaken, the Chayadam himself makes this Ha'ara. This Kufa seems to be the Makul, so like Rashi Tosis. So who here read this Rashi Tosis to Nasugya? Everyone read it? Who here chap, the Gadlus, the Amkus of this machlaik is Rashi Tosis? So this entire Sugya hinges upon how many customers are standing in the meat stores in Yerushalayim. So this is the first part of the Sugya, I say. This is the following rave part of the sugya. But we introduce the sugya by saying there are a lot of other factors flying around here. Another factor is the notion of following Basra. You follow what was there last. And that's going to throw off an entire different part of the picture, part of the story. So hopefully that Shem tomorrow, hopefully we'll all come back live tomorrow. Those who win this live, Yat Hashem. So we will continue the sugya from the vantage point of Basra and see where that puts us in terms of understanding this and how that plays out, both in terms of chametz as well as in terms of mice. Okay. Have a great day. Hopefully, we'll see everybody bright and early tomorrow morning.